Welcome back, listeners, to another deep dive into the chaotic and surprisingly poignant world of Dungeons & Drams. We are breaking down Chapter 18 today, Shelf Defense.
Best chapter title ever? I think so. The pun game is strong in this one.
It really is, but don't let the pun fool you. This episode starts in a really grim place. It's late evening, 30 Elent, 1492 Dale Reckoning, the mist is heavy, Gavage has been bitten by a vampire, and the crew is stumbling into the Snow Beetle Farm.
Right, the contrast here is wild. On one hand, you have this quaint apiary and farmhouse, and on the other, you have the literal smell of death. And finding the Snow Beetle Hamley, that was rough. Four bodies in the kitchen.
Yeah, it sets the stakes immediately. This isn't just a goofy adventure. Bad things have happened here. But then, almost immediately, the party balances that darkness with their signature chaotic energy. Can we talk about the chest upstairs?
Classic Doug move. Tuki, the rogue, mind you, looks at a lock and says, "This is unpickable." And Doug just goes, "Hold my mead," and kicks the lock off with his boot.
Inelegant, but effective. And they find a filter of love smelling of lilac and gooseberries. I see what they did there. A nice nod to a certain white-haired monster hunter.
Geralt would be proud. But things really heat up when they head to the basement. It turns out, attacking a halfling stronghold is dangerous if you're tall.
Shoulder-height tripwires. It's genius. Donus triggers one, but Tuki clears the rest, though not without an incident. S, tell me about the rock.
Oh my god! Tuki tries to warn Doug about a pressure plate by throwing a rock, but instead just beams Doug right in the head. But it actually makes Doug fall down, which causes a crossbow bolt to whistle harmlessly over him.
Task failed successfully, and that's when the voice drops. The villain reveal. Schemo Weird Bottle.
This has been building for so long. Tuki's former classmate, the source of his torment. Schemo is hiding in this alchemy lab, invisible, talking smack. He calls Tuki a patsy and unleashes a frost spell on Doug.
Speaking of Doug, he seemed convinced that wearing jorts, jean shorts, gave him maximum dexterity.
I mean, look, he wasn't wrong, right? It allowed him the range of motion to survive. But the MVP moment of the entire fight, maybe the entire campaign so far, happens right here. The Ring of the Grimmarian.
I love this magic item so much. It lets you change one letter in a spell name to change its effect. Doug casts Alter Self.
Change the F to an H. Alter Shelf.
Unbelievable. He animates the furniture. A literal shelf starts thrashing at Schemo. Between Shelfie and Doggo, the summoned canine, Schemo gets cornered.
Schemo realizes he's in trouble and pulls his trump card. He drinks a black potion and goes full Bane. He grows from a 3.5-foot gnome to a 9-foot ogre-sized monster. The skin-splitting description was visceral.
It was a true boss battle. Doug gets knocked out cold, Delnus has to clutch heal him, and Tuki finally gets his moment of revenge, backstabbed with a bayonet while the giant gnome is distracted by the furniture.
And the finishing move? A big toe to the mouth to silence him. Disgusting. Effective. Totally Tuki.
Totally amazing, as Delnus put it. But after the dust settles, we get some lore drops during the interrogation. Schemo admits he was collecting souls for a dark lord. He mentions Man-Ash before passing out.
Manshoon? Has to be, right? That's Zentarum business. Serious stuff. But Schemo survives barely. The crew stabilizes him.
Which leads us to the back room. They find a prisoner. Beppis Honeymaker.
Beppis, the guy they saved from Xanathar's gang way back when? The poor guy escaped the sewers, walked all the way back to the farm only to get captured by vampires and experimented on by Schemo. Talk about bad luck.
He's emaciated, traumatized. They let him go and he promises to give them honey later at Sandy's bar. It's a sweet moment of heroism, or is it?
This is where my stomach dropped, because after Beppis leaves, they search the room and find Schemo's notes. And those notes, they reframe everything.
Exactly. The notes mention the soul extraction proves impossible on the Honeymaker, or rather the intellect devourer inside its head, and that the mind flayer's work was quite complete.
They just let an intellect devourer loose in Waterdeep. That isn't Beppis anymore. It's a walking skin suit for a brain dog.
And they have no idea. The characters are high-fiving about being heroes, and meanwhile, they just unleashed a spy who knows exactly who they are.
It turns the whole shelf defense chapter from an action comedy into a tragedy horror story in the last paragraph. Classic D&D. You laugh at the animated furniture, then realize you made a terrible mistake.
Truly haunting. They also found some cool loot, though. Sovereign glue, universal solvent, and Delmhest trying to teach Tookie alchemy by throwing books at him.
Priorities are priorities. I just hope Sandy's bar has good security because Beppis is coming for a visit.
We'll have to wait and see. Join us next time to see if the party realizes what they've done or if the Green Lotus mystery deepens. Thanks for listening.